Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. It's now largely forgotten that St Mary's Hospital in Phoenix Park, in the centre of Dublin, was once the Royal Hibernian Military School. Here, for over 150 years, the sons of soldiers in the British Army, serving in mostly Irish regiments, were educated and trained with the expectation that they would follow their fathers into military service. Howard Clark has written an extensive history of the school.
I'm standing in front of today what is St Mary's Hospital, and was in 1914 the school, and had been the school since 1770. Up to that date it had admitted about 13,000 children of soldiers in the British Army in Ireland. In 1914 there were about 410 boys in this particular building. As a military school, the boys were uniformed, and they're probably most remembered for their scarlet uniform, Glengarry hat with Prince of Wales feathers on. They had badges of insignia, they had junior sergeants and junior corporals, pretty much like prefects in other words, for a military school. They had classes in the normal way in the main building, but they also had a great deal of drill. They weren't carrying arms, they weren't taught combat, but they were drilled regularly, they had parades regularly, they had colours, just like a British infantry regiment. They were organised into companies with sergeants responsible for their discipline. They slept in companies, they dined in companies, and they marched around in companies.
I company! By the left! Quick, march!
The military authorities were faced with a problem. The school had been on holiday in 1914, when the war was declared on August the 4th. And when the boys came back, they were very excited. You know, the army was... Battle of Mons had been fought, the army was retreating through into France, and the fighting was really the topic of the day. So how do you get 400 boys to concentrate on their lessons? The authorities were very clever. What they did, they introduced war knowledge into the curriculum. In the playrooms, they had big boards, and they put up the newspapers, daily newspapers, showing the progress of the fighting. And then they would gather an hour's lecture class every week on the progress of the war. Now, being teachers, of course, what do you do if you're teaching something? You've got to examine them, haven't you, to find out the progress. So they had examinations, and the boys were graded by the results. There was a top prize, second prize, etc. And they got a small prize, a small amount of money, which they could spend in the tuck shop. We've got in front of us here a certificate, 30th of March 1915. I certify that boy Joseph Hahn, at an examination of war knowledge, obtained 72% of marks, which I consider excellent, signed by Colonel MacDonald, Colonel and Commandant of the Royal Hibernian Military. Generally speaking, it was a typical boys' school. Now, was it all sunshine? If you read the letters of old boys writing about it, they often say it was a great life. They were well fed, they were looked after, medical treatment, etc. Life was hard, but there again, it was hard in most residential schools of that period. There was, in fact, a bit of a downside to it. It can be a bit wet and damp here in winter. I think the heating was off during the night. The diet was plenty of it, but it was bland. You know, not much interesting apart from plum pudding at Christmas and maybe some eggs at Easter time. And unfortunately, they had a lot of the younger boys who came. They came at the age of 7 or 8, would miss their parents, miss their mothers in particular. And they might wet themselves during the night. And they had a very, we would regard as a cruel way of dealing with it. The boys would be called out by name in the dining room if they wet their bed, and they would stand on the chairs, and they would essentially be shamed and be told to wear hospital clothing until they got rid of it. And they were then woken up every hour during the night in the cold. But as one of the old boys said, you quickly learnt not to wet the bed. So there was that downside to it as well. When the Irish Treaty was signed, in 1921, it was clear that the British Army would leave Ireland, apart from the treaty ports and the north, of course, of the six counties in the north. And nobody knew what was going to happen to the school. So if you go to August 1922, the school's still there, the British Army's evacuating Ireland. What did the government do with it? They decided to move it to England, They left here in an armoured car escorted convoy, September 22nd, 1922. And they drove through the park to the docks, on a boat to Holyhead, and down to Folkestone. So they're in Folkestone in redundant cavalry barracks, waiting to know their fate. In 1924, the remaining boys, about 150 or so, moved from Folkestone and became part of the Duke of York School in Dover. The Old Boys Association, which was very active in the post-Second World War period, kept alive the memories of the school, assumed that there was poppies and a wreath on the war memorial. And the last time I think that the war memorial received a wreath-laying cemetery from the Old Boys was 1968 or 69. After that, the school was just a simply long-forgotten institution.
St Mary's Hospital in Dublin. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.